How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Thunder, your daily podcast on the Oklahoma City Thunder, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello there, everyone. We're locked in for episode 176 of Locked On Thunder, presented by the Norman Transcript. I'm your host, Fred Katz. Locked On Thunder is part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Head on to iTunes, search Locked On Thunder, subscribe to the podcast there, and leave a review once you're on that page. Find us on audioboom.com, too, and log on to normantranscript.com to check out my blog, Thunder Road. It's under the sports tab on the site. You can see all my Thunder coverage there. I'm on every day of the week, Monday through Friday. Hope everyone had a good weekend. Back from today's Monday episode. If you're a Thunder fan, you didn't have the greatest weekend. The Thunder blew a 21-point lead to the Spurs, 21-point second-half lead to the Spurs on Friday night at home, and then they fell in a really sloppy game, 113-101 on Sunday to the Hornets. We'll wrap up the Hornets game today. Russell Westbrook, 40 points, 13 rebounds, 10 assists, 8 turnovers. Victor Oladipo had 19.6 assists. Andre Robertson had 12-6. 29 points for Kemba Walker. He played well, shot the ball really well. Westbrook, this is his sixth straight triple-double. He's at 40 now on the season. He's one away from Oscar Robertson. I just didn't think this was possible. I didn't think anyone would ever average a triple-double. He's 100% going to do that now. And, look, last year when Russ got to 18 triple-doubles, like, people said that was the record because that was the realistic, attainable record. A dude getting to 18 was like the Magic Johnson record. It was the post-Oscar and Wilt era record, which was the real record because statistics from the 1960s are not real life. They're not a real thing. It was a different game with a faster game where, it wasn't real. And apparently this is real. Apparently this is a thing. So Russ has six games now remaining in the season to tie Oscar Robertson, and he's got six straight triple-doubles. If he gets one on Tuesday, he will tie Oscar for 41 with five games to go. Like, he's going to do it. He's going to do it. I don't know if he'll do it Tuesday for sure. That's against Milwaukee, but he'll do it. If he gets it Tuesday, it'll be seven straight triple-doubles. That'll tie the longest streak of his season. He had a seven-game triple-double streak from November into December earlier this year. And then they go on the road. So Russ is, in all likelihood, if and when he beats Oscar, in all likelihood, he's doing this on the road. Because they got a four-game road. They got the game on Tuesday. Then they got a four-game road trip. And then one at home. And then the season's over. But I just didn't think this was going to happen. And it's amazing. It's amazing how impressive it is. It's amazing what he's doing. Unbelievable. There wasn't that much amazing on Sunday, though. The Thunder were sloppy and they were not good. And Russ, even with, as he tends to do, 40 and 13 and 10. He's got seven 40-point triple-doubles right now, by the way. Seven this year, where he scored 40 points or more in a triple-double. That ties James Harden for not just the most in the NBA this year, but the most in a single season ever. Tied with James Harden for that now. But, like, what Russ has shown this year is he can have a 30, 40, 50-point triple-double and not quite be up to standards. Eight turnovers. The Thunder had 24 turnovers. Russ had eight of them. 24 turnovers. And these were live ball turnovers. These were not ball sloppily thrown out of bounds. These were not charges. These were not offensive fouls of a different variety. These were steals. The Hornets had 18 steals, and they got out in the break 35 points off turnovers because of that. They were getting the break. They were getting mismatches. They were getting fast break points. They killed them in this. It was the difference in the game. They were collapsing in on Westbrook, and did a great job taking away passing lanes. Now, Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is an amazingly underrated defender, and they have long wing guys. I mean, Kidd-Gilchrist is like a Robertson type. He's long, and he's athletic, and he's fantastic on the ball. He's fantastic off the ball. He can guard a million different types of positions and types of players, and he's great. He's a legitimately great defensive player, and Batum is solid off the ball and getting into passing lanes and that kind of stuff, and they're feisty. Like, Cody Zeller is pretty decent. They're not a great They're not a great defensive team. They're top half of the league. They were like 12th or something like that, 13th, something like that coming into this game and points allowed per possession. But they did a really good job defending Westbrook in this game and defending the Thunder in general. You know, there was definitely some sloppy plays from the Thunder too. You can't get to 24 without unbelievably sloppy plays. I mean, Adams bobbled some balls and they threw some passes away. Oladipo did, or Gibson just didn't look like himself in a game where he was sick for this week and he missed the game Friday and he just didn't look like himself in this game. And I think that's probably just because he was sick. He had three turnovers. Like, it was just, it was really ugly on their part. And I thought, on top of the Thunder just not doing a good job securing the ball, I thought Charlotte had a really nice defensive performance too. The offense had some seriously awful droughts in this game. Worst one, start of the third quarter. Thunder went on a run. They were down double digits. Went on a run, made it 59-54 at halftime. They were totally in the game at the half after really letting down when Russ was out of the game in the second quarter, and they went on a nice run to end that second. And then all of a sudden, they didn't score for the first 5 minutes and 37 seconds of the third quarter. That was ugly. Didn't score until Westbrook had a finger roll to get them a bucket. 5 minutes and 37 seconds into the period. 6:23 left in the third was their first score. 13-0 run for Charlotte to start the period. And honestly, it was just them missing shots. And they kind of got to that point where Russ was then trying to bring him back, taking some bad shots. But he makes bad shots. Like, they were just missing shots. They were just missing shots in that period. But no one was making shots in that period. Russ eventually had 13 in the final 6 minutes of the period to at least get him on the board. Everyone else had three. Ugly period. That was what put it away for Charlotte. They eventually opened up to a 21-point lead in the second half, and the Thunder couldn't even make it a single-digit game again for the rest of the game. And you know what? They could easily be on a five-game losing streak right now. They got waxed in Houston, which is fine. Getting killed on the road by Houston is fine. Like, Houston was perfect offensively that game. They weren't missing a thing, and they did whatever they want. The discipline for them to, you know, they took two shots outside the paint that weren't from three in that game. Two. One of them was a buzzer beater. One was like a floater from Lou Williams while it was already a blowout and it was late in the fourth quarter. That was it. The discipline to be able to do that was amazing. The Thunder, you know, and at the same time, the Thunder couldn't force them into tough shots, but like, Houston was hitting everything that game, and Houston's an incredible offense and a really great team. And I feel like there's nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with that loss inherently. They played terribly in the Dallas game. Russ brought him back. They had 78 points with 3.5 minutes left in the Dallas game. 35 points in the first half. The offense was not flowing. They did not look good at all offensively. They couldn't get anything in that Dallas game. Granted, second night of a back-to-back, but they looked terrible. Russ had his magical run at the end where he had 12 points in the midst of a 14-0 run in the final 3.5 minutes, and he hit a game winner, and they won 92-91. But they were down 91-78 to a sub-500 Dallas team with 3.5 minutes to go. Even though Dallas is playing pretty good basketball now, the Thunder didn't play well at all in that game. Like, that was independent of the way Dallas played. That was a badly played game from the Thunder. They did not play well. They played even worse on Wednesday. They were really, really bad on Wednesday. That was the Orlando game. They got down 21 to Orlando, which is the team at the time with the second worst record in the Eastern Conference, trying to tank, not playing good basketball. And the Thunder just looked terrible again on both sides of the floor. They looked really, really bad in that game. And then Russ had his magical comeback and had the most points ever in a triple-double, had 57 points in that game in a triple-double effort, hit a three at the end. But you know what? If that Russell Westbrook game winner in Dallas doesn't go down, he hits back rim on that. If the three at the end of the game, which tied it in Orlando and sent it to overtime, that doesn't go in, maybe miss a short there. If those shots don't go in, the Thunder are on a five-game losing streak right now. They blew 21-point lead to San Antonio, and there's nothing wrong with losing to San Antonio, home, away, whatever. There's nothing wrong with that. There's not. But letting go of the 21-point lead, even though Taj Gibson didn't play in that game because he was sick, not preferable. It's not the best way to lose to, like, if you're going to lose in a bad way to San Antonio, that's not the best way to do it. Then they played really badly in the Charlotte game. Look, Charlotte's better than its record. That team is better than its record. They've got a +1 net rating, which means they outscore opponents by 1 point per 100 possessions on the season. They're top half of the league in offense and in defense, points allowed per possession, and points per possession. Like, this team is better. They don't win a lot. They haven't won a lot of close games. That's their issue. But they're actually not that different from the Thunder. They've got a better net rating than the Thunder. The difference between them and the Thunder is that the Thunder have won a lot in a lot of games that have gotten to clutch time, and Charlotte has not. Charlotte has lost more than they've won. The Thunder have won more than they've lost. That's been the difference. They won the close games. But Charlotte was a 48-win team last year with not that different of a roster. Not that different. They lost some guys. But they've had some unfortunate luck. Charlotte's not that bad, and they're playing pretty good basketball lately. But this was a terrible game from the Thunder. They were really bad. The 24 turnovers were just ugly. The way they defended the perimeter was ugly. They've really been struggling with stretch bigs. They struggled with Kaminsky in this one. Kaminsky had 19, and they've just struggled with stretch bigs big time. They struggled with Dirk. They've not done a good job defending the perimeter. I thought Westbrook's defense in this one, another reason why the 40-point triple-double was not as good as the line appears. His defense was, like, especially down in this game. He was dying on those screens, man. That was not a good look for him at all. His defense was especially down in this one. Let's take a couple of Twitter questions before we go. First one from Drinking Tea. Quick one. Why didn't we see Taj Gibson down the stretch, considering the Thunder were struggling to defend? Billy Donovan got asked about this post-game. He said that he thought it was partly because they were struggling to defend the perimeter and he wanted to get Jeremy Grant in there because he's a guy who can switch defensively and all that. He also said that he thought he was just lacking energy. Here, I'll call up the Donovan quote, actually. Yeah, so Billy said to start the third quarter and he may feel differently, so I don't want to speak for him. He didn't have that same kind of pop I thought he did. And obviously, he's been sick here and in bed, so I think he gave us everything he had while he was there. I agree with that. I sit next to Royce Young at games, and I Royce and I commented to each other, like, Gibson just looked out of it in that third quarter. He didn't look like he had energy, and it wasn't just, like, with the ball. He had some turnovers and that kind of stuff. Russ hit him, and, you know, Russ hit him on a fast break where, like, he had a wide-open left-handed layup, and he just stood there with his back to the basket and, like, backed down nobody for a dribble. And then realized, like, oh, there's nobody there, and turned around to make a layup, but the defense had converged on him by then, and he got blocked because he couldn't even get up enough. The play where I was like, ooh, Gibson should not be in there was Kemba Walker came around to pick and roll, and I think it was with Cody Zeller. Yeah, with Cody Zeller. And Zeller ended up getting a wide-open two-hand dunk, and it was a pick and roll that Westbrook and Adams were guarding. Gibson was the weak side defender. He was supposed to pull over on that roll from Cody Zeller. And that is a play that Taj Gibson has done a gazillion times in his career that is routine to him. And he's really good at that. He's a really good weak side help defender. He's a really good pick and roll defender. He's really good at recognizing basket cutters. Like, this is like the strength of his defensive game. And he didn't move. His didn't move. Zeller got a wide open dunk. Wide open two-hand dunk. And I was like, oh, he just doesn't. And Taj Gibson's not. Taj has been really sick. He's been super sick. He didn't practice on Thursday. He didn't play Friday. And he's a tough dude. Like, if he's sick and doesn't play, like, he's really sick. And he didn't practice Thursday. On Saturday, he went through light practice. But, like, he was out there in, like, a hoodie with his hood on. Just, like, low energy, as low energy as you could look at a player shooting around and that kind of stuff. He looked sick. They said he was going to play on Sunday and he started, but he just didn't look like he had the energy. Like, he's been bedridden. So he looked like he had been bedridden. You know, I think it's just important for him to get better from a life perspective and from a basketball perspective because the Thunder need him. Next one from Stat. Aren't the Spurs a better matchup than the Rockets? Against the Spurs, you could play Cantor more, Hydabrinus on Danny Green, etc. This is obviously a reference to the playoffs. Let's call up these standings. Let's click to it. ESPN.com. How easy are you to navigate? All right, so the Thunder got a little bit of help on Sunday because the Grizzlies lost in Los Angeles to the Lakers. So the Grizzlies are still two games back in the loss column of the Thunder. Principally, they're kind of one back, though. Because the Thunder play in Memphis on Wednesday, and that's the second night of back-to-back. Road back-to-back in Memphis, Grizzlies will and should be favored in that game. So it really could only be one game in the loss column, like conceptually. They're two back of the Clippers for the five. They're as close to the five as they are to the seven. The four is probably out of sight. They're three back of Utah right now. Three and a half. Three back in the loss column. So Houston's the three. San Antonio's the two. Right now it's looking like they'll play Houston. But I do kind of agree, even though San Antonio's the better team, eight games better in record, I do kind of agree that the Thunder would match up better hypothetically with San Antonio than they would with Houston. Especially with their recent struggles as guarding teams on the perimeter. Because Houston just shoots so much. So many threes. It's unbelievable. Even Ryan Anderson is out. It's like Eric Gordon and Lou Williams and Trevor Ariza and Sam Decker and James Harden, obviously. All these guys are like elite three-point shooters. It's amazing watching what they're doing. And I think that would be a real struggle. That offense is perfect. It's like a perfect offense. It is one of the greatest offenses in the history of the NBA. Now, I think Houston would be a more fun series. Like, if there's no rooting interest, if you have no rooting interest, and you're just like a fan who wants to see fun basketball, I think that Houston Thunder series would be like, you can make an argument that would be the most fun series of the first round. You get Russ versus Harden, and you get a high-powered offense, and that would be a really fun series. Really fun. And I'll be honest, I would much rather the Thunder play Houston in the first round. And I'll tell you how a beat writer thinks. Here's why I want Houston in the first round. Because Houston is an easy direct flight from Oklahoma City that's like less than an hour. In San Antonio, I got to connect. That's the real life of a beat writer. That is my only rooting interest here. Just whatever makes my travel easier. Because I'll tell you what, an NBA season's exhausting and I need the travel to work. But I do think San Antonio is the better matchup. You can play those Cantor Adams lineup, like stat. I'm going to guess that's not his real name. But like stat so eloquently said, you can play the Cantor Adams lineup more. Because you can't play Cantor Adams against Houston when they're playing like Trevor Ariza at the four or Ryan Anderson at the four. It's just not going to work. You have one of those guys guarding the perimeter way more than you want to. It's just not going to go well. I think your secondary defenders are more comfortable against San Antonio's offense too. Even though San Antonio's offense is really good. You can put Robertson on Kawhi for basically the entire series. You can throw Oladipo on Tony Parker. You can throw Oladipo on Danny Green too. Westbrook can guard Tony Parker. Like Westbrook does an okay job on Tony Parker. He actually does do an okay job on Tony Parker. And here's the thing. If Russ does want to defend the point guard, if he doesn't want to be hidden for the entire series, and you don't just want to throw him on Danny Green in the corner for the entire series because he doesn't want that, that's not a situation where it's going to kill you. And the Thunder can really athletic San. They can out-athletic San Antonio. Thunder are one of the most athletic teams in the league. Maybe the most athletic team in the league. And San Antonio's problem, they're not very athletic. And I think Russ can kill him in the pick and roll. Now, all this being said, I would not pick the Thunder to beat the Spurs. I wouldn't do that. I wouldn't pick them to beat Houston either. But I think it would be a closer series against the Spurs. I do. You look at the back line pick and roll defenders in San Antonio. The guys who get playing time. Dwayne Dedmon's real good. He's a real good pick and roll defender. Doesn't play a ton of minutes though. You can throw Tony Parker, Pau Gasol in a pick and roll and you can find success. You can throw Tony Parker, David Lee in a pick and roll and you can find success. You can do that. Next one from Katie Lewis. What's with the wrap on Russ's hand? He got a floor burn. Can't remember who it was against. He got a floor burn when he fell and just kind of like put out his hand to brace himself. And he's got a blister on that right hand now. He's had it for a few games. But he's wearing that wrap on his right hand. Does kind of seem like he's taking more lefty layups. But I don't know. And that could also just be like a thing. And I also could even be wrong on that front. But he seems to be doing just fine. He's got six straight triple-doubles. And he's shooting the ball well from three. So I think he's just fine. But that's what the wrap is for. It's just for a blister. It's nothing that'll keep him out or nothing structural or anything like that. You can remember I'm on every weekday, Monday through Friday. You can head on to iTunes, subscribe to Locked On Thunder there. Questions, comments, email lockedonthunder@gmail.com. And you can find me on Twitter at Fred Katz, FredKatz. Log on to normantranscript.com for all your Thunder needs. And check out Thunder Road to follow team coverage and what's next for the Thunder there. That's going to do for today. Back tomorrow. to preview Tuesday's game against the Bucks and talk Thunder or do whatever and talk triple doubles, because that's really the thing right now. He's one away. So I imagine, I haven't outlined it, but now that I'm just talking out loud, I imagine Tuesday's episode is going to be something along the lines of triple doubling. But until then, Locked On Thunder is locking up.